do this. We did review the financials through December with the board meeting. We actually are just in the process of finishing up your January activity. So that'll be available at the next board meeting and the next CBOC meeting. Financial reports, what we talked about at the board meeting is the preliminary budget. We've worked through that budget. We've revised that budget. I will bring it up when we get to that point. So, but through December, it's based against the preliminary budget. So there's going to be some variances here that are going to be corrected with the amended budget. And we'll actually be reporting against the amended budget for the January activity. Based on the preliminary budget had budgeted total income of $7.3 million. As of December 31st, $5.2 million of that had been received. You can see the bulk of your funds, which come from your local school districts, as well as your state funding, they had come in at about 76% and 86% respectively. On the expense side, the preliminary budget had facilities and maintenance budgeted at a little over $1 million. 60% of that had been recognized as of December 31st. About $650,000 is what had been recognized. Instructional support, we show 46% of the preliminary budget was recognized, initially budgeted $6.4 million and $2.9 million had been expended, which represented 46% of that preliminary budget. And then finally, under transportation was coming in about half being spent based on the preliminary budget. The preliminary budget budgeted $627,000, $312,000 had actually been expended. So at the end of December, total expenses were 3.8 compared to an $8.1 million budget, which represents 48% of the total preliminary budget had been expended. And the organization had actually operated at a net surplus of $1,406,000 and had an ending fund balance of $2.8 million. Any questions about the budget report?
So will the whole 2.8 million carry over to the next budget, Michelle?
Yes, it is. The actual column, yes, because those are actual, the ending fund balance of 2.7. Are you asking if the
Is that what we're going to carry over to FY23?
No, it's not. And I'm going to show you the amended budget to show. It's literally about $300,000 that's going to carry over into FY23.
Okay.
And it's all said and done. So, good question, though. Any other questions? No? Okay, I want to bring up the amended budget that was reviewed and approved by the board when we met earlier in the month. Okay. Okay, there we go. So this is a high-level summary of what are some of the changes that occurred as a result of the amendment of the budget. We went through and we really scrubbed the budget. We worked together. The team did a really good job. Leland and the principal, assistant principal, everybody pulled together to really kind of scrub this budget, realize what is actually happening versus what's not happening, and then identify any cuts that we knew that we needed to make. The bottom line is that the organization is going to operate at a significant deficit. Right now, we're anticipating about $1 million deficit, and their funds that they carried over at the beginning of the year, which was $1.3 million, is going to absorb that loss. And so what's anticipated that would be carried over into FY23 is $338,000. Some big changes that we made to the budget, starting with the income side, what you're going to see is that the local school district revenue was reduced by $540,000. A big portion of that was related to enrollment was down significantly. The preliminary budget was built on 335 students. Great Oaks actually came in at about 285 students. So you can see that's like a 50 student swing, which is resulting in a reduction in both our local and state funds. We also identified just the amount that was budgeted, even if it wasn't a student enrollment swing, it just seemed to be a little bit on the high side. And so once we made those adjustments based on where actual revenue is going to come in for this year, and we've got our final numbers, the local school district money is $1.6 million. So that's a $540,000 reduction in revenue that we needed to account for in the budget. We did increase the federal funding side though. And a lot of this is related to the federal ESSERS money for CARES Act. We did increase that by $804,000. We really went through that budget, those budgets in detail, and identified what was originally built into the application. And Leland is working on amending those based on what we identified is actually happening and what could be applied to those. So there were some great opportunities for us to pick up some staffing and costs that were actually being incurred or would incur that weren't built into the budget. And then we had to remove out of the budget what, you know, what wasn't actually happening. So we have about $804,000 federal funding that we were able to identify, which will be additional revenue coming in to reimburse expenses. On local fundraising, we did increase that by about $19,000. There's $19,000 that's already come in for various different student activities and payments that have been collected. The remaining $100,000 is related to the payment that'll come from the foundation. They do submit to Great Oaks annually for the tutors, the AmeriCorps tutors that are working at Great Oaks. They do provide the pass-through funding under the AmeriCorps program back to Great Oaks. And so last year was about $114,000 that they actually funded. So Leland did have a conversation with them, and the anticipated amount for this year would be about $100,000. I know Leland was going to check to see if that could come earlier than it normally does. It normally comes in the May to June timeframe. So we're hoping that we can at least receive what's actually been incurred that would be passed through up until the point. So we're not waiting to that, you know, the end of the fiscal year to receive those funds. So that's what we made under local fundraising. And then finally under state funding, again, our big reduction there, we had to reduce that by $580,000. And that is for multiple state appropriations that are based on student enrollment. Since student enrollment was down significantly, the revenue was not gonna come in as budgeted. So that was a $580,000 reduction. So overall, what you're seeing is that from the preliminary, it budgeted $7.3 million in revenue. After our adjustments, we've budgeted $6.9 in revenue, bringing, that's a reduction in revenue, about $451,000. Before I move on to expenses, do you have any questions about the changes that we made to the budget on the revenue side? Okay, no questions on the revenue side. On the expense side, some of the changes that we did there is facilities and maintenance. We needed to increase that budget line item. There was a settlement with Delaware College, I think it's Delaware Arts, forget their actual name under this abbreviation, but there were rental units that initially went into an agreement that were not satisfied, and then that was settled. And that settlement had to be paid out. So we needed to include that settlement in facilities and maintenance, which is basically in the rent line item. So we wanted to make sure that we accounted for that expense because that's a payment that has actually gone out the door. So we needed to account for that. Food service, we reduced that budget. That was a budget cut. There's really not much. Food service is really being done by the CEB, it's included in the rent. So this is more related to meetings or any food that's being provided for various different meetings or activities. So we did cut that line item as a budget cut. And then under instructional support, the big cut came there, about a $400,000 cut under instructional support. And a lot of that we went through, you know, it wasn't staffing. The one thing that we were able to accomplish with this is keeping staffing intact. So we understand the impact that cutting staff mid-year, morale that has, and it just has a domino effect, which is just so negative on a school. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, we would rather use prior year carryover to absorb any deficit that we were going to operate at this year if we could, instead of, you know, terminating staff. So the cuts really came out of contractual instructional support services. We kind of looked at those contracts to see what we were obligated to, what we were not obligated to, and what we could really just cut out of the budget. So that was about a $400,000 reduction that we were able to identify, which was really able to help support that, the revenue loss that we basically were subject to. And then finally, transportation. We did increase transportation. And with transportation, a lot of that's all being covered out of our ESSERS grant for the increase in transportation. So that was an increase that we included in the budget, but is being completely offset by our federal grant. So some of the expenses on the federal grant side, we were able to increase revenue in areas, and some of our cuts and increases that are going to be covered by federal grants. The net amount really is the cut that's really happening on the state and local funding side. And so we were able to bring expenses down when it was all said and done to about $178,000. Overall, what we're showing is that the school's going to operate at a little over $1 million deficit. It's not pretty by any means. This is not a sustainable budget beyond this year. We're actually going to start the budget process for next year, next month, where we can start to develop that plan for FY23, because this is where we're going to have to look at organizational structure and determine what changes may need to be made there based on where enrollment landed this year. So overall, we did have $1.3 million in a carryover from the prior year that helped us absorb this loss for this year, but that leaves us at a fund balance of $338,000. This does include up in instructional support. I have included the summer salary requirement that would need to be paid over the summer. I wanted to make sure that expense was accounted for. And so that obligation is completely met. So we have no issues as far as that's concerned. And we are meeting the 2% requirement that we would be required, the 3% requirement, contingency requirement that the state requires for state and local funds. We have met that as well. Not pretty, but it's viable, at least for this year. And that's what our ultimate goal was, to make sure that we could identify an operational plan for this year, that it would be viable, that we could get to the end of the year, and then strategically work through how we're going to change operations for next school year, early enough in this year. So any changes that need to be made in preparation for next year, those changes can be made before we get to July 1st. So that's where we're landing. So any questions about any of the items that you've seen on this amendment budget?
It looks like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna ask about I know you said that it was towards the maintenance and the increase for the rent for the settlement and everything else. So I'm like, why would it go towards the maintenance and facilities?
Well, facilities and maintenance, that's a high level category. There's multiple expense items that make up facilities and maintenance. And one of those expense line items is rent expense. So we actually posted that to rent expense, since it was a settlement based on prior rents that had not been paid.
Okay. Because I thought it was something that actually, it was just my mistake. Thank you.
No worries. Dick, I think you had a question.
It looks like all your financial, or most of your financial issues, are pretty much tied directly to your enrollment issues. And if you solve one, you pretty much solve the other. I'm wondering what your forecast, what the potential for enrollment looks like, if we have any idea.
Yeah, good question, Dick. That's our number one focus right now is recruiting and enrollment. We are aiming for 100 students, and we are targeting our own eighth graders who are already at Great Oaks. We have 7 and eighth graders who we're looking to move up. 65 of them. We are already sending out a poll right now to see where students and parents are aiming for next year, just so we'll know internally which direction we're going.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we are targeting all of our surrounding middle schools, including Eastside, Thomas Edison, Kaumba, which is right in our building, Charter School of Newcastle. We are assigning a staff member to work with the staff at those schools to target students who are looking for a small learning community, who are looking for mentoring and tutoring, as well as when Great Oaks first started and I was in the classroom as a math teacher, about half of our students came from the county as well. So we are looking at zip codes outside of the city or and more in the county along the Route 9 and Route 40 corridors that may not be looking for a large school to attend, but are looking for a smaller community. We're going to hit those communities with mass mailings. And one thing that's different this year versus last year is our staff is going to get out to the recreation centers. Our staff are going to be getting out to those schools. Because of COVID, we were unable to do that last year. So this year, we spent somewhere like $30,000 in media campaigns last year as far as recruitment. But without, you know, Delaware is a small town, Phil, without people really getting to know who we are, it did not make the difference as far as enrollment. So I hope that helps or paints the picture of the direction that we're trying.
Those all sound like good ideas. Good luck with all of it. I hope they all pan out. I do.
Yeah.
Just to chime in, Mr. Kent. Another thing to piggyback off of what you said, I think you should start like at least send someone out to like community centers where they have gatherings and be a presence there, because you would get other potential students, you know, because it's a lot of people that really don't, you know, just get involved with their children's lives, but they'll go to like community-based programs or stuff like, you know, stuff that's in the community just to see, you know.
Yeah.
And that's to trigger a potential student, you know, to just have your face out there and show that you are a community-based school versus any other school that's out there.
Absolutely.
Which you really try to target.
I agree with you, Ms. Burrows, and I just want to just piggyback on what you're saying, that our plan is to have different staff assigned or working at different recreation centers from a volunteer basis after school, like tonight.
I was about to say, I'll volunteer for something. Just let me know and I'll definitely volunteer. You know who I am.
Yeah, there are a lot of needs out there. And we believe that if we get out and serve to meet the needs and just be a regular community servant, but we do represent Great Oaks as well. I think that will make the difference. And so I do appreciate your input. And I look forward to having you as one of our volunteers.
Thank you.
Cool.
Mr. Kent, I'm not exactly sure if this weighs in with this particular topic, but I remember we used to have a criteria for volunteering, and I don't know if we still have that anymore, but volunteering was allowed us to help other people know us in that setting as well. Dave and I used to go to the Food Bank of Delaware, and we also used to volunteer. I can't remember, it's where they pick up the trash on the side of the highways. And we had Saturdays where you go and help pick up. And that was a place where we could actually commune with other schools and other parents, and other people, and kind of get them aware of our school as well.
Absolutely. Those are those community volunteer hours where we require our students to do 25 hours a year. So that is definitely something that we are working on. And I definitely think that should be part of our recruitment plan as well. So thank you for bringing that back to the forefront.
All right, I think that's all we have for the financial reports, if there's not any other questions.
I did have one question, Michelle, too. Is there a way for us to also account for if we, for example, I know we can't come under But if there is a, if we get overage or, you know, or less, because I know in the previous that, you know, we can't account for those students after that certain period of time. I know Mr. Kent was saying, is there a way for us to put some type of buffer in or something just in case? And I know we're already kind of short, but I'm just wondering, like, if we can figure out a way to kind of buffer that so that the school is not taking on so much that they can't, you know, if 10, 20 additional students come on that weren't accounted for, you know, how do we help, you know, with that cost?
That's a good thing, because I mean, it's, you're typically not picking up a whole lot of students after you get beyond the September 30th count. Usually kids are settled where they are. You'll have some occasional movement. It's usually about a student or two. Leland, do you have an idea of how many students you picked up after the September 30th count?
Yeah, we're closer to 295. We picked up about 10 students since the since the count. And we are continuing to be open to accept students, because what we're looking for is the April 1st count. And as far as recruiting and applicants, we do have to project where our numbers will be as far as the number of applications, as well as students or parents that are looking for change right away. Mm-hmm. We are interviewing, and we are not turning our families away. We're looking to partner with them.
Okay.
And, look to meet their needs, not waiting for September. So
that makes sense.
Yep.
So yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And I think that really helps you, like you said, with your April 1st count.
Mm-hmm.
But it also helps you if you retain those students, you know, for your September 30th count. So you're kind of hedging yourself now. Unfortunately, there's not any income we can generate from the students this year, but what it does help to do is increase your enrollment numbers for next year, some of that revenue coming in the door. So, is that answering your question, Mashima, or were you kind of asking?
Yeah, because I know that count came in after the September 30th, and we at that point can't, you know, ask for additional funds after that. So
right.
I'm just wondering if there's, you know, some way for us to, you know, buffer in something so that, you know, we're still able to take those students, but still be able to afford to keep them, you know.
Gotcha. At the same time.
From an operational standpoint, I definitely would think that we would need just support, meaning more community support as far as hallways or bringing in to support students who may not be familiar or accustomed to our culture, you know, when people coming in, just making sure that we keep, Great Oaks has made tremendous strides in our culture and, you know, decreasing the number of incidents in regards to our school. So that is already happening. The state did do an initiative this year where they wanted to do a second count. I think it was in February, but it was just, it didn't count anything towards any monetary changes, but it was just to see, it's like a prototype, whether or not they would want to do two unit counts in a year, because it's not just impacting charter schools, but it's impacting the districts as well when people are moving mid-year. So they are looking at that, and the, you know, a decision, it would have to change legislatively. It would have to be something that was implemented across the state if that's going to happen.
Okay. No, that's helpful, Leland. Thank you. I just wanted to know if there's like any monetary that can help support, because I mean, you know, you're still having to teach additional students that you weren't accounting for during your initial count. So, okay. So just mindful of it. That's all.
There is a revenue line for, I think, donations and gifts and things like that. Maybe that line could be used toward that, the buffer account you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll definitely have to increase that number, because I know we're only.
Easier said than done.
Yeah. I know we have to, because that one right now, Michelle, is only an increase of 19,000, right?
Say that. Yeah, that was only an increase of like 19,000. So. But I mean, that doesn't mean you can't fundraise. I mean, the only thing that's in there is what's come in the door already and the 100 expected from the foundation. So anything else that comes in is above what we've got budgeted and would absolutely be welcome. So it's a nice thing to kind of, I'm not sure what the fundraising efforts are and who typically does that, but that would be a great fundraising kind of message to give about the students you're supporting that you're not even getting funding for right now, and you know, the great job that you're doing with supporting those students. So
yeah, and if I could piggyback, Rashima, on what you're saying too, with our corporate partners, that with Todd Pipkin, who leads Dana, our nonprofits organization, met with him this week to talk about opportunities. He's turned 4 charter schools around nationally. And he talked about partnering with corporate partners as well, and charter schools not being able to really push the needle as far as making real movement without some donations from the corporate side as well. And I believe, to your point, with partnerships, mentorship, some of the things that we are already starting. Mm-hmm. We met with the group Next Generations. They are phenomenal, ready to hit the ground running. Generation Next, I'm sorry. But with some of the mentoring, but some of that corporate partnership is contributing dollars, but also contributing relationships and marketing, and that we're actually able to list them as partners. That could be a difference as far as student enrollment and what we're offering as a small school as well. Those are all things that are on the table.
Nice.
Okay,
good. Yep. Sounds good to me. So it sounds like our board needs to a conversation for us to start a campaign. That's what it sounds like.
And Todd Pipkin is ready to come and meet with the board as well to express not, you know, Leland's idea as far as a new school leader, but actually he's done it. So we definitely can hit the ground running with an expert right in Wilmington and within our fingertips.
All right, awesome. Any other questions or any other comments?
I'm good.
All right, I think that wraps us up for the evening. Do we have a date for our next CBOC meeting? I know this one kind of got moved. I'm not sure what the schedule looks like.
Yeah, I actually want to definitely lock in, and I wanted to talk to this group who is committed and get a feel for what works for everyone, and so that it's not sporadic, but moving forward, we can lock it in. What is it? I think it's usually done the week of or the week after the board meeting. Is that what the historic?
It varies from school to school. You generally like to have it when Michelle's got all her numbers after that.
Yeah.
But as far as the board meeting goes, it's pretty much up to you guys. Most schools do it the last 2 weeks of the month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By that time, we know we got our reports out and it's not an issue. So
maybe the third week.
Mm-hmm.
Of the month.
Week of the month. And what date and time works best?
I think the third Thursday of each month would be more, you know, because it's after report. It's not a Friday, you know, you don't conflict with other people's schedule. Around the same time is fine for me, at least. I can't account for everybody else.
Thank you for that feedback, Ms. Burrows. Anyone else? Does that work for everybody else?
Yep.
All right. States generally work, yeah.
Okay. So it looks like the next one would be March 17th. Same time, 5:30.
Perfect.
That's fine.
All right, so we got it on the calendar, March 17th at 5:30.
Make sure you put it on your website, Leland.
Absolutely. And
Okay, I want to say one thing, because I'm not sure who celebrates St. Patrick's Day. I just looked at it. I'm not a big fan, but I'm just saying. That's St. Patrick's Day, so if you celebrate, I'm just letting you know, just don't come in.
My son's birthday, I celebrate it every year, so we forget. But yeah, Dick, hey, I definitely wanted to say thank you as well, and you, and as far as being a liaison and a partner as well, and your guidance is really appreciated. I really want to say that.
Glad to do it.
All right. So everyone, our board members, parents, love you, and have a good night. Thank you, Michelle.
Bye, guys.
Right.
Thank you.
Have a great one. Have a good night.